Okay, back from the start. Anyway, so thank you for having me. Really happy to share my experience of Beijing. It was an incredible experience. I worked really hard to initially make Team Canada, which I was happy to do finally in 2019, and make a Team Canada in a normal World Championships year is one thing, but making the Paralympics is that much tougher. It's harder selection, and it was just a great achievement to finally make my first Paralympics, and I really enjoyed it. So in our sport, first thing that kind of happens to make it official is we get nominated by our sport association. So Curling Canada nominates the athletes that represent Canada to go to the Paralympics, but it's not official until you get vetted by the Canadian Paralympic Committee, and that doesn't happen until January. So we kind of had our nomination kind of in December, but you have to wait until January. So it was official January 27th. The press release comes out. Sorry, just the computer's jumping around a little bit. No, just let me. Anyway, so the press release comes out on January 27th. We officially get named. It was just to finally see it in print, knowing I'm going to be going to the Paralympics, getting the opportunity to represent Canada was just so special. Apologies, the presenter's not. Laser still works. It should be more than close. Watch. Interesting.
And they come up to a par 3 hole with the water in between the tee and the green. So Jesus takes out an 8-iron. And Moses says, "You're not going to hit that with an 8-iron." He said, "That's what Jack Nicklaus uses. That's what I'm going to use." Jesus hits the ball, splash, right in the water. Goes down, "Moses, help me out here." So Moses parts the water. Jesus retrieves his ball, goes back up to the tee, tees up, 8-iron. "You're still not going to use your 8-iron, are you?" "That's what Jack Nicklaus uses. That's what I'm going to use." Splash, right in the water again. Jesus says, "Moses, help me out." "Well, just one more time." So he spreads water out. Jesus gets his ball, gets back up to the tee, tees up, 8-iron. "Jesus, you're not going to use your 8-iron again, are you?" "That's what Jack Nicklaus uses." Another foursome comes onto the tee. "Oh, yeah, oh no," and he says, "Moses, part the water. I told you I wouldn't do it." So Jesus gets out his ball retriever, and he's walking over the pond looking for his ball. And this other foursome comes on. They look down there. "Does that guy think he is Jesus Christ?" "No, he thinks he's Jack Nicklaus."
Just so everybody knows, this technical issue that we're having, our executive this past meeting decided that we're going to have a meeting with Lindy with regard to the facility and the technical aspects that we need for these meetings, because this is unfortunately the second time that this has happened to us. So I think our executive will be assisting Lindy with regard to creating more of a technical opportunity for people that use this facility. It's not on him, it's on us, because this is all our equipment.
Sure, it was working. This is my own.
Too many hands.
Maybe it's distance.
You want to just nod to Bob, and Bob can move it forward for you?
Here. I'll just be close.
Don't go over the edge. Hope you have a number of jokes.
I didn't. I'll have to put them in my presentation kit.
I have a number, but I'm not
so
sure.
I have my iPad that I can do it through. This might not be able to get sound. Like, sound through the TV, but probably not through the sound.
Okay. Let's do that. Yeah, can you go back one? Yeah. One more? Yeah, so, sorry, where I was. Now we're back on track for the second time. Yeah, so it was amazing. So the five of us athletes were named to the team, the Canadian Paralympic team. And it was certainly special for two of us. It was our first Paralympics, but we also got to be on a team with some veterans. So we had Ina Forrest. She had been three privates prior Paralympic Games, so this was her fourth Paralympics. Mark Idison had been to two previous Paralympics. This was going to be his third. And Dennis Thiessen had also been to two Paralympic Games, so this was going to be his third. So we had some veterans going in, very experienced, and they were able to kind of tell me and Clinda what to expect, and it was it certainly was a fun journey with the team we had. So next slide, Bob. So from there, so it was a little unique in 2022. We had the pandemic still, you know, with the limitations of, you know, it made it challenging for training, you know, with some closures to recreational facilities and that. Luckily, I was able to still train in this area and very thankful for that. You know, one of the challenges was that we all live across Canada. So Ina's in BC, Dennis is in Manitoba, our head coach Mick was in Edmonton at the time, Mark is in London, I'm here, Clinda's in Ottawa. So for us all to be able to train together was a challenge. So one of the things that the program, our staff, decided to do, and it was an amazing decision, was we actually decided to all stage together so that we could do our own bubble to limit the exposure. Because one of the risks was if any of us tested positive for COVID, you're probably not representing Canada, and that was a super risk, one of the highest risks we we had kind of highlighted going into it. So anyway, so we decided to go to, we were always flying out of Vancouver. So we decided to all go ahead to Richmond, B.C. to stage there for 3 weeks, 20 days. And it was a great decision. All five of us got to train together. We had a really good setup. So anyways, next slide, Bob. Are you hitting? No, hit the left clicker. You're hitting the right one. Yep, there you go. So anyways, here we go. Off to Richmond, BC. So it was packed up. Lots of gear. 3 weeks, and then 2 weeks in Beijing. So it was going to be 5 weeks in total, being away training and competing. So, you know, we took all the measures, you know, shields, masks, doing all we could to limit our exposure on the travel out there. And then we quarantined for 2 days in our hotel room to make sure we didn't have any, you know, contract any symptoms during our travel. And then once everything was cleared, then we were able to start training. And I'll go to the next slide, Bob. So from there, we got to do off-ice training together. And this is something that we typically don't get to do together. It's kind of, we all do it at our own local gym or wherever we work out at home, but that's not really something that we do. When we get together, it's typically just a curl, right? So it was a nice, like, team bonding exercise, something different than being on the ice together. And I'll go to the next slide, Bob. And with that, we got the opportunity to train at the Richmond Olympic Oval, which was built ahead of the 2010 Paralympics. And what an amazing facility it is. It's it's publicly used facility now. It has an amazing gym in it that we got to experience. But it has still speed skating and all that in it. So I'll go to the next slide. But yeah, so we got to use this facility, which just was unbelievable. So we balanced it between off-ice workouts and on-ice workouts. And it was a cool experience to have as a team. So I'll go to the next one. So we had our strength and conditioning coach. He's out of Winnipeg, Kyle Turcotte. So he ran all our workouts for us, and it was a cool experience as a team. And I'll go, and just an amazing facility. Really helped us. So another cool thing about making the Paralympics is the clothing. So we officially got the Paralympic clothing arrived, and it was newly, like, Lululemon was now the new clothing provider for the Olympics and Paralympics in 2022. And it was super special when it arrived. And this was my face when it arrived. If you can click once more. But it was really cool. We'll go to the next slide. And they treated us really well. I think there was something around 56 articles of clothing there. They decked us out really well. And it was pretty special to have all that gear, all the Paralympic clothing. And I'll go to the next slide. And one of the other special things is our competition clothing came. Had arrived in Vancouver to us, and it's always super special to see your name on that Canadian jersey, and it's something that I still to this day, it's one of the greatest moments. Like, I first made the Team Canada in 2019. I did a playoff in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to make one of the final spots. And that was an amazing moment, like, knowing I'd made it. But then it was like a month later, my clothing finally arrived in a box, you know, to the front door, and got to hang it up. You see your name on it. So it was super special. Equally to see the Paralympic clothing there, knowing you're going to get the opportunity to represent your country. And it was pretty cool. Next slide, Bob. So from there, we got a really good opportunity to do on-ice training together. And like I said, we all live across Canada. It's not something that we typically had to train for 3 weeks ahead of a World Championships or a Paralympics together, and it was so valuable. Go to the next slide. And one of the great things was we were able to get the Delta Thistle Curling Club. We pretty much got run of the club, you know, for certain hours, which was amazing. We were able to limit the exposure of you know, some of the other members or people that would be using the facility, and we basically got the club to ourselves. So we did a lot of training. We were there for 20 days. 14 of those days we were on the ice together, training, working on, you know, everything from shot making to kind of blueprints of how you're throwing, and that's always great for the skip to know how, you know, the other players are throwing, so he can make slight adjustments to ice or how he's brooming. So next slide, Bob. So just lots of training, 14 days, but really valuable. Go to the next. And we had really great support from the club there. They all made signs for us and signed it and sent us all the messages of good luck and wishing us the best. And then next slide. So one of the great things, we had great support from Toyota for this. They donated us two vans that helped us get around Vancouver back and forth to the club, which is a half an hour drive from Richmond to Delta, and also I needed to run around. We needed to do for food or what else. But we had an amazing team, as you can see, and this was just in the Delta parking lot there. So we'll go to the next slide. But we also did, I know we said we were training 14 days, and then we were also doing gym on off days. We did have a little downtime, which was cool. Next slide. So a beautiful area. I don't know if everybody's been to Vancouver, but what an amazing, just an amazing place to be, and the mountains, surrounded by the mountains. It's pretty cool. We lucked out. We were there 20 days. I think we had somewhere around 13 or 14 days of just sun and blue skies, which is pretty unheard of for Vancouver in February. But we got to go to Stanley Park, check it out. And in the bottom there, that was kind of our view. We had a suite that we all shared as kind of communal, like where we ate, did meals together, team meetings and stuff, and it was just cool. Cool experience. Next slide. We also got to share the Super Bowl together, which was pretty cool. I don't know if any football fans here, but something really enjoyed to do as a team, really team bonding. Next slide. So from there, our journey to Beijing begins, and it was pretty cool. So we'll go to the next slide. So we all... With your clothing that you get, you're all scheduled on what you wear every day. So everybody shows up in their travel gear. So this is all of us just checking in at the airport. I'll go to the next slide. And then, go back one. And so we all got pictures with the Air Canada, the big ticket, on our way. It was pretty cool. And then I'll go next to you. Next slide. And, you know, we had to do one more test. I think we tested 72 hours. We did our PCR test, 72, 48, 24 hours to make sure that nobody tests positive. And then we had to do one final test before we got on the flight. So this is our team doctor there with my teammate Mark doing one final test. But as you can see on the right side there, it was just a sea of red. It was pretty cool. We had the airport, you know, gated off for us, just so it was just for the Paralympic athletes. And I'll go to the next slide. Is it working though? Let me see if I can give it a shot. So, and one of the cool things is we had our own flight. So it was just the Paralympic athletes. And I don't know if you can see the plane on the right side there, but it says fly the flag. It's the Air Canada one. And that's the plane that takes all the Olympians or Paralympians to the games, you know, every time it has. So super special to see that on the tarmac. One of the other cool things was they allotted a certain number of spots per sport for first class seats. So I was lucky enough to get a pod on the way out there. It was my first international pod, and I have to say it's the way to travel. Yeah. It was pretty cool. So, yeah, three of us, we had three for curling. So me and two of my teammates, Mark and Kalinda, got to get a pod on the way there, and it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool experience. Oh, there we go. So from there, we fly direct from Vancouver to Beijing. It was a 13-hour flight, I think. Probably didn't feel that long in first class, but it was pretty good. Anyways, but we arrived in Beijing. We got there. We had to do testing while we were there, and it was, they're not really worried about whether, it's uncomfortable or not. They're definitely like, speed is the goal there. But anyways, we got through that. You know, we get to luggage, and this is kind of what we're looking at on the right. So I don't know if you've seen that Paralympic package that we got with all our clothing and suitcase. But now you have 200 athletes with all the same suitcase. So you can imagine we were there for a few hours trying to figure out whose suitcase was whose. It was a pretty fun experience. From there, so when we got to Beijing, it was going to be strictly a bubble, limiting all the exposure of all the athletes so that there was no interruptions in sport and in the games. So what that meant was we all got bused basically from the airport to the athletes' village. You were in the athletes' village, and the only time you left is when you're bused to your venue for your sport and back. So we got our bus ride to the athletes' village, and this is the first time we've seen it. And I have to say it was one of the best accommodations I've ever had. Brand-new apartment complexes, all fully accessible. And it was a cool experience. This was us getting to our building. So one of the coolest things is, we're Canadians. We're kind of subtle. Like, we're not, like, in your face. But some of the other buildings of other countries, they had, you know, huge flags, like 20-foot flags on the sides of their buildings, like, you know, they were there. This was our Canadian building. We just had, like, a little, I don't know, you know, 1-foot flag in the window just to let them know we were there. But it was pretty cool. So from there, we got settled in our apartments. And it was, we all did something to kind of remember the people back home that has supported us, whether it's coaches, whether it's family, friends, whatever. So we all had something. Mark had a personalized flag from, you know, his hometown with all personal messages of good luck and cheering for Team Canada. And I did the same, had a collage from friends and families and all my supporters that, because, you know, it was a games that, you know, you weren't allowed any international travelers. So no family or friends can travel with you. So it was important to try and make sure you remember who's cheering for you back home and who's helped you get there. And so that was great to be able to do that. And then from there, this was a couple floors up, but we had a gym, and the Canadian Paralympic Committee did an amazing job at having equipment there for us to get workouts in whenever we had some off time. And to have that, a couple floors up was pretty amazing. From there, we did a tour around the athletes' village. We had amazing weather while we were there. It was kind of like today. Like, it was, I think we got there and it was around 8 to 10 degrees, and it kind of warmed up as we were there, and we got some, 15 and 18 degree days in March, so it was pretty nice. At the bottom there, is the entrance to a mall they had there. So we went and checked it out. And it was pretty cool. It had like the Paralympic and Olympic clothing, official clothing store, a couple other places. One of the things they had there was a Pizza Hut and a KFC. It definitely was not like Pizza Hut or KFC here. And I have to say the chicken was a little questionable, but we did try it. We did try it. One of the other cool experiences was they did a really great job of having volunteers there to help with everything from the games to around Athletes Village and that. And one of the cool experiences was every country brings their own pins from their country, and some countries bring some pretty sweet pins. But one of the volunteers, you know, one of their tasks was trying to collect all the pins they could from all the athletes they could, and most of them would have lanyards, and they'd try and fill them up, and it was a pretty cool experience. And you can see on the bottom there is Mark Edison, and as soon as you bring out a pin bag, like, you just get swarmed by all these volunteers. And they want the best one you have, and it was a pretty cool experience. So this was our athlete at the Athlete Village, our cafeteria, and they did some pretty cool carvings there, I thought, out of watermelons and sweet potato. It was pretty cool. And from there, so this is our bus ride. This is leaving, so we're going to head to the facility to see it for the first time. So we had security in and out, metal detectors, and then we were bussed back and forth. It was about a 10-minute drive, so it was really great. We really close. It certainly helped. We were actually there in 2021 for the World Championship. So in wheelchair curling, your test event, you have a test event prior to a Paralympics the year before. So your World Championship's in the same venue, same city that the Paralympics are going to be in. So in 25, it'll be in Cortina, Italy, where the Olympics are going to be in Milan and Cortina in 26. But we had to stay. It was somewhere between an hour to an hour and a half where our accommodations were from the facility. So to have this, like, a 10-minute drive was pretty nice. From there, this was us arriving at the Ice Cube, they called it. So I don't know if anybody had seen the building before, but this was originally used. It's called the Water Cube for the 2008. Beijing Olympics, Paralympics, and it was their aquatic center, so has their swimming and everything. But they've converted it to now host curling, so then they renamed it the Ice Cube. But a beautiful facility. It was massive. I think we used maybe 60% of it. But it was pretty cool, and it was pretty low, like, you came in on street level, and then you had about four of these ramps to continually go down to ice level. So at the end of the day, it was kind of a trek getting back up to the bus, but we had some volunteers that helped us, so it was good. And this is just more pictures of the facility. We had just amazing, like what you see on TV. And it was just unbelievable, the setup they had. You can see on the bottom right there. So you go on the ice, and you come off on the far side when your game's done. And then you go through this alley there. We called it like the gauntlet because it was just media, right? It's all media outlets, and that's where you wheel by, and then they would just, you pick you out, say they want an interview or something. So you kind of kept your head down and tried to just keep going if you could, but didn't always happen. But, like I said, we'd been here in 2021, but, see it all decked out with Beijing 2022 and the anticipation of starting our Paralympic Games, it was pretty special to see the building. From there, we went to our change rooms, and we had a little surprise. Our mental performance consultant, Kyle Paquette, did a little surprise for us. So you can see all the picture frames there does Team Canada. So there was 10 athletes and staff that traveled with us to Beijing, 10 letters in Team Canada. So each letter was personalized pictures from each member of the team. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool surprise, and he had them up there for us, and yeah, it was pretty special.
Here's a video.
This is a short video just of our change room. Just got it all decked out in Canada flags and you know, banners from our supporters, flags, and like I said, those picture frames, Team Canada.
His family portrait wall of all of our friends and family. Every athlete has a nice picture of family and friends at home. A couple more lockers. And a couple wall decals.
And what I was saying, the ramps were when you came down from street level, it was pretty cool. So they had the new banners up from Beijing 2022, but the old banners were still in the building for Beijing 2008. So I thought it was just pretty cool picture of seeing the two banners side by side. So I have just a short video just to show you what they did with the building. It was you know, a pretty good, pretty amazing engineering feat that they did just to transition from swimming pools to being able to put curling ice in. Yeah, put all steel for strain structure in the pool itself, and then put concrete slabs over. So it was pretty cool. I have to say it's so far it's probably the best surface I've ever curled on in my life. It was amazing surface that they did. We were there in 2021. They did a pretty good job in the World Championships there. And I think with the opportunity of having the Olympics in 2022, and then the Paralympics after, I think we got the best ice. Like, I know I've talked to some of the Olympians. They said, you know, it was some of the nicest ice they've curled on, too. And then I think they, you know, they were able to, you know, even manage the building a little better when we got it. And it was truly a pleasure to curl in that ice. So from there, we got to hit the ice for the first time. This is pretty exciting. So we have pre-event practice. You get 2 days. You get an hour each day. So you get 15 minutes on each sheet to look at the rocks, sheet shape, you know, kind of get an idea of the speed. It was a little tricky the first day because the ice had just got in. So what happens after the Olympics is they have to then do a melt, take out the Olympic logos, put in the Paralympic logos, and whatever sponsorship logos are, refreeze it. So it was just done ahead of this practice. So it was a little green the first day, a little slow, but we got a chance to look at the rocks, a little bit of sheet shape, and just get out there for the first time, you know, at this point, we've now been in Beijing, I think, for 5 days, like from when we landed, and you're kind of like chomping at the bit, right? Like you're there to curl, you know, you want to get it underway. So it was super exciting to finally get on the ice. So yeah, it was cool. Finally get on the ice, throw some rocks. on the right there, that was our head coach, Mick Lismore. This was his first Paralympics as a head coach. So that was the coaching bench. Like, that was your view. You kind of had a 12-foot kind of look down on the ice. It was a good view for them. So from there, we had opening ceremonies, and this was a pretty cool experience to share with, to be able to share that with all the other Canadian Paralympic athletes to represent Canada. So we were all decked out with the Lululemon. We were definitely warm. As you can see, we were probably dressed for, I don't know, minus 50. I think it was like plus 5 that day. It was a little windy, but so we were definitely warm enough. And from there, one of the other cool things was, every Paralympics, they announce a Canadian and a male flag bearer for the Olympics and Paralympics. And it was certainly a huge honor for Ina Forrest. This was their fourth Paralympics, first time being a flag bearer for Canada. Super special, and it was incredible to be able to share that experience with her as her teammate. There was also Greg Westlake there. This was his fourth or fifth Paralympics. He's a para hockey athlete. So both of them got to be flag bearers for Canada, and it was quite special. So from there, they bust us to the Bird's Nest, which is their main arena that they built ahead of the 2008 Olympics, Paralympics. And then we made our way to the building, and then in the tunnel through the bottom. And then this is where you get to walk out as soon as your country's name. So Aya was at the front. We got a cool picture of her coming out of the tunnel with the flag. And certainly a really cool experience. This is a short video, so this is us coming out of the tunnel, and they did an amazing job. I have to say the stadium was probably 85% to 90% full. It was just an unbelievable experience. It's definitely the biggest stadium I've been in. And it was such a cool experience to come out, as one of the athletes from Canada.
Dang, man.
Yeah, so it was cool. They did a really great job. Like, these volunteers here that you see, they were jumping around for 2 hours straight, like, while every country came out. Like, it was quite amazing to see. But certainly an amazing experience. They did a great job of the opening ceremonies. It was a pretty cool experience. And then they did a great fireworks show. It was pretty cool. And this is the cube there that you can see in the bottom. So it's kind of like this translucent, like, outside exterior to it, so they were able to put images on the building, so it was always different, but a lot of the time it was kind of curling themed throughout the week, which was pretty cool. So from there, we finally get to start competition. So it's been a long lead up. Almost a month now, kind of training, travel. We got our practice in, and now competition starts. And from there, I like to think of it as the marathon begins. So it's a lot of competitions. We typically have an 11-game round robin leading up to playoffs. So you play every country once. This year was a little different, just with the Russia conflict. Russia was they traveled to there, but officially the IOC, IPC wouldn't, they weren't allowed to compete. So it went from 11 games to 10 games, but it's still a lot. And so 5 days, you play 10 games, 2 games a day. So we like to think of it as a marathon. So this is our schedule. And right off the start, we got China. So China is the number one team in the world. They are a really good team. They are the reigning Paralympic champion, reigning world champion. Just a really solid team. So here we go. We were ready to start curling. So game one, Canada versus China. There we go. So here we are, warming up, getting ready for game. I don't know if anybody's seen Ted Lasso. Has anybody seen the show? Yeah? So we had the Believe sign there, you know, just before we're heading out for our game. It was a cool piece. Anyways, great show if you guys are looking for something to watch. So from there, China. Yeah, always a tough opponent. Very skilled, don't miss a lot of shots, but always a fun challenge. So from here, this is a shot. So really close game, first end, first half of the game. China's up 2-1, and this is my last shot in four.
8.5, 9, 8.5.
So we're going for a hit. Try and hit and stick. Main thing is get rid of it. Kind of even as you can see, we're sitting second and third.
To give himself a chance at two, and now they did get a miss from Haitao, and now they have a chance for three, and that will be a huge score at this stage in the game. Huge chance for Canada and John Thurston. Tonight. That is a lovely shot from John Thurston. Look at that.
And there we go.
Cool,
yeah.
Tonight. And that is a big score.
It was a big shot. Like I said, they're a top team, so to be able to get up a couple points, it works in our advantage. Like, it's hard to come back from it. They're a very defensive team. So from there, so we did really well, kept our lead. We ended up winning 7-3. So from there, first win, feeling good. So Canada's 1-0. Next, we have Switzerland, game two. Switzerland's a good team. They're a lot of veterans on their team. They play an aggressive style, lots of rocks in play. So it's hard to predict what ends are going to look like, but you do your best to kind of limit rocks and play. But from there, we had a really strong game against them. We beat them 8-4. From there, so then this is what I was saying. So you're going through the media gauntlet, and every game, you basically an athlete or two. It was there. We kind of traded off who was doing, but we had Devin Haru from CBC there interviewing us, and I have to say, like, he did an amazing job at kind of asking, really good questions, kind of setting us up with, making us look good. I have to say, like, it a lot of it comes like what the questions are asked and that. So it was a cool experience, and we're certainly thankful to have Devin there. 2-0. So next we have Latvia. So they're a strong team too. They're we see them once a year at a world championships. But veterans, they play a bit of a defensive style like us. But we were excited to get our second game underway. So one of the things that happened in the first, I don't know if anybody was watching, but so first end against Latvia, all the rocks had been thrown. We had hammer. And I believe we were about to score two. And one of the volunteers, so we call them IPAs, like they're ICE assistants, and she moved one of the rocks before it was going to be measured, but it was clearly ours. So the first time I've had this in a competition, and we weren't sure what the ruling is with that. The official got back to us and said it's basically you either take your 1 point or you have the opportunity to replay the game, replay the end. So we discussed it as a team, decided what to do. We decided, you know, we had a good first end, but, you know, we felt we kind of left some points on the board, so we decided to replay the end. And we were certainly thankful we did. We ended up scoring four in that first end, so it was a good decision. So, anyways, we had a strong game. So we ended up winning 10-3. They quit after six. So we're feeling pretty good. Canada's 3-0. Then we get USA. And they're always a good team. They're, you know, our North American counterpart. We train with them quite a bit. We end up seeing them in competitions quite a bit, you know, just with the proximity. Really good group of guys. Always enjoy playing against them. So here we go. And we had a good game against them. We ran away with rocks in eight. We ended up winning 7-4. And here we are, Canada 4-0. So we're feeling good. Right? Like, you couldn't have drew it up any better. This is how we wanted to start our Paralympics. We were super happy. So then we had a night game. And we're going to play Sweden. So Sweden's one of the top countries in the world. I know, obviously, you've seen them in men's and women's. You know, as of the last few years, really strong in the wheelchair side as well. They're the reigning silver medalists at the 2021 World Championships. And just a really strong team, but always fun to play against. You know, like China, a really challenging opposition that forces you to bring your best game. So we unfortunately gave up a steal in 2 and 4. It kind of hurt us. You know, just we got down early and it was hard to come back from. They played really well. So we ended up losing 6-3. So Canada's 4-1. Not bad. Good start. Like, we're 4-1. If you asked us before how we'd feel if we were 4-1 to start it, you know, we'd feel pretty good. So then we played Korea the next day. Game 6. And Korea's a strong team. They're a very defensive team. They hit really well. They draw really well. So always a tough opponent. And I have to say, this was probably the strongest field I played against. Like, definitely each country put forward their best team. So, you know, right through the order, we played tough teams the whole competition. And in the Korea game, so with our lineup, we had Mark Idison at lead and skipping the game. We had Dennis Deason at second. We had Ina Forrest at third and myself throwing fourth rocks. And then Kalinda Joseph was our alternate. So Kalinda hadn't got an opportunity to play a game yet. So the coaches made a decision. So Kalinda would play this game. And she had a really great game. It was great to see her finally get some ice time. She had done a lot of work to finally make it to the Paralympics. And, she certainly curled really well. Unfortunately, we didn't have our best game. Korea ended up beating us 9-4. They played really strong. We just didn't have our best stuff that day. So anyways, Clinton got to do her media that day. She did pretty well, given it's usually tougher to do media after a loss than a win, as you can imagine. You know, I don't mind doing the media after a win. It's a little easier. But anyways, Canada is 4-2 now. So we're on to Slovakia. Game 7. And another strong team that we probably only see once a year at World Championships. But veteran players, they've been to multiple Paralympics. A similar game to Switzerland, I would say. They're a little aggressive. Lots of draws, rocks in play. So we were doing our best to limit it. Unfortunately, we came up a little short. So I had a draw for two, in the last end to tie it, go to an extra end. Came up a little short. So unfortunately, that one stung. But it was a good game that was close. So they won 9-8. So Canada's now 4-3. So, you know, we're kind of a little different feeling than being 4-0. 4-3, kind of reeling a little bit. Like, we thought we've had some close games, just a shot here and there, kind of is how the games went. But I think one of the important things, like, in a competition, like, it's staying centered, so it's like a roller coaster the whole week, right? Like, you know, we had highs at that 4-0, probably lows after three straight losses. But it's trying to, like, you know, ride that wave of emotion and kind of stay on top of the water, stay kind of even keel. So just some good analogies that we like to use. One of the other things is kind of stepping away from the game. I think you can get really caught up in, you know, a specific shot or a call or, you know, something the other team did or something. And it's important just to step away, I think. So we did our best. You know, we had chess going in our apartment, or card games, or going out for a walk, enjoying some nice weather. Like, whatever that is, just step away from the game and kind of shut your brain off for a little bit and readjust. And one of the things we really explored was, like, trust that process. Like, all the work that we put in, we knew we were all capable of kind of being on that podium and finishing strong. So game 8, we came against Great Britain. And they're a really strong team. Again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but the field was really strong. They played really well. We were kind of back and forth for the first half of the game. And then we definitely had a good bounce back game. We played strong for the whole game. And we kind of started, pulling away in the second half. And then we ran them into rocks in the 8th, so we ended up winning 6-3. So we're back in the wins column. Like I said, this was my media day. I certainly enjoyed doing the media after a win, and Devin did a great job. So we're 5-3. We're feeling better. We have Estonia next, game 9. And, they're a team we don't see a lot, so we're not really... You know, we don't have a great scouting on how they play, but they're somewhere in that middle. They're a little defensive, a little aggressive. But we had a really great game against them. We ended up beating them 9-3. So now Canada's 6-3. So feeling better. 2 straight wins. So now we have game 10. This is the last game around Robin. We play Norway. Norway's really strong team. I think at this point they're ranked second or third in the world. Always a good game, aggressive team. They hit really well, but they're comfortable playing with rocks in play. I don't know what that is. So anyways, here we are playing Norway. So this is an important game. So it's basically you win, you're into the playoffs, you lose, you go home. You're done. competition's over. So it was an important game for us, and it was a close one. We kept battling, and they played really well against us. And we were down. So this is the eighth end. So we're down 6-4. We have Hammer though, and this is the last shot of the game. So you can see the way the rocks are set up there. Should I start it? Yeah.
Oh,
what's it gonna do here?
You're nosing it, right?
So yeah, they're sitting shot right now, but we're setting 2, 3, and 4.
17.
So important to hit high side on this.
I can be positive on it.
Yeah.
You can either just pick it or hit it just high and stick.
Nice, good throw.
But important to score 3 here. At least 2. You want to tie it to go an extra end, but ultimately you would like to get 3 here and win the game. So this is my last shot.
Like this, buddy. Come on.
It was a good one. It was a good one. So thank you. So yeah, important. So huge shot. So we ended up winning 7-6. So Canada 7-3 through round robin, officially clinched playoffs. Amazing. That was our goal going into it. You know, your first goal is make playoffs. You know, second goal is to be on that podium. So we're excited. So the way playoffs finished, so the top 4 teams make playoffs. So 1 plays 4, 2 plays 3. So we finished 4th based on last stone draw. Out of the 4 teams, out of 3 teams, because China finished first due to the record. So, anyways, China's first, we're 4th, so we get to play China again. Strong team, and it was a close game, and unfortunately, China pulled away. We could not get that win. China wins 9-5. Yeah, they just played better us that day. But so from there, so that was an afternoon game, and then typically a bronze medal game would be in the morning. But during this Paralympics, it was scheduled for the night game. So you can think we get off the ice. I think we got off at 5:00. We have to play at 7 for the bronze medal game. So important to kind of take what you can from that game, from that loss, kind of park it, and then refocus on what the game is ahead. And I thought it's something we did really well. Myself and Ina both chose to use, you get practice ice where you can do some matching of rocks, work on, you know, maybe some spots in the ice or specific shots, and That was our choice to utilize our time for that. So quickly got some food, back on the ice practicing, and then we'd see Slovakia again. So couple sayings we like you know, just feelings are just visitors, let them come and go. Don't get attached to them so much. And then if you guys have seen Ted Lasso, you know, what's the happiest animal in the world? A goldfish, right? Like, you know, they're the 10-second memory. So, anyway, so night game. Big game, bronze medal. Play in Slovakia. And it was a close game. Slovakia played really well. So did we. So we're in the eighth end. Canada's up 4-3. We have the hammer, and these are the last 4 rocks.
The red 4-foot circle at 12:00, in a really strong position here for Slovakia.
He says that goal is in.
So you can see they're sitting 1 and 2 right now. So
should be in.
they're attempting to put a guard up.
To a guard, and that is exactly
trying
to
guard those rocks
right now.
Looking to steal.
Well, time and time again, we've seen him throwing guards, and he's been looking for draws. So if he tries to play a draw, he might get it in the right spot here.
Yeah, maybe if he just imagines he's going for the house and it's stop off a little short for him. What he doesn't want to do is take any of that weight off and accidentally not get the stone in play. But line is all important here.
Throughout the game, those draws coming up short. I've been
one
a
of the
lot
cool
like
experiences. I don't know if you can get it through the video.
A 6 foot putt and coming up.
You can hear the echo underneath from the swimming
exactly
pool.
The same here.
Like when the rocks were traveling down the ice, it was pretty neat. So pretty good guard. Maybe a little higher than they wanted,
but
guarding shot rocks.
And there is space for Canada to.
So now it's our my first shot coming up. So I think it's important to.
The good news for Slovakia is they're
make one go away for sure.
Here.
Yeah.
So you know, we're looking at kind of hit and rolling in front.
Slovakia will have.
How much
trying the double, but I think the main thing is make one go away, try and sit, shot preferably, or second, something that you could either run or promote.
Zatko. We'll see Thurston all the way over on the side of the delivery area over there on the left-hand side, maximizing the angle, getting the best look at this takeout possible. Oh, this is a great shot here from Thurston. Gets the back one as well.
Yeah.
That could be a match winner there.
Like, probably as good as he can make it.
It was certainly
happy to make that one.
He's clearly learned from that experience. And he has looked solid as a rock here in this bronze medal match.
Rafin Slovakia just being punished in the most
that's a Gucci shot.
Dropping that initial guard just a little bit short, leaving too much space.
Yeah, without sweeping.
For Canada around on just that gentle takeout.
So we had a great crowd there too. Those are the Canadian Paralympic Committee have their staff there that kind of help with logistics and all that. So they were there for all of our games. So it was great support. As you can, one of the experiences was. You know, without family and friends there, you didn't necessarily have a crowd there cheering for you. It was kind of the other way. Like, China had probably 75% of the stands filled with their fans, and they were quite loud and that. But to be able to have that support, you know, in the Athletes Village, we shared with para hockey. So when they didn't have games, they were able to come watch and cheer us on too, and it was a cool experience. So from there, they called a timeout, decided what they wanted to do. So they decided on
just in front of
the we're gonna try and draw under our shot rock right now.
And they need to get the right angle on it so that John Thurston can't just play the same shot he's just played, so he can't just come and attack that yellow stone and bump it backwards into a Slovakian stone. But first things first, this has to be very precise without sweeping. Without any adjustment on the stick delivery.
Well, the draw shots have not been Zatko's friend here in this bronze medal match. First things first, this must lie in shot position for the game to continue. Must be closer than the nearest yellow stone of Canada. Looks like a good weight. Looks like an excellent weight. Well done, Peter.
So, good shot. He needed to get shot, and he did to the perfect weight. It is open, though. I think I can see all of it. There is an edge from the throwing end.
And when Slovakia needs it.
So here we go. We're going to hit. I think the main thing is make that rock go away.
All they have to do is get that rock.
They necessarily need to stick around, but can't hit the guard.
Bronze medal for Canada. They've got one hand on it already. They still need to complete the job. So final stone here of the eighth end. Final stone of the bronze medal match. And it's Canada for bronze.
All day.
What a shot. Brilliant shot by John Thurston. And a brilliant performance by this Canadian team.
Thank you. Another appreciative shot. Yeah, that one sealed it. So there we go. Scored four. There we go. Winning the bronze. That was a special game
to win and to play with my fellow teammates and staff, just to share that win.
So we went 8-3. There were our fans cheering us on. From there, the next day was the gold medal game. So China beat us. And then Sweden beat, I forget who Sweden beat, but Sweden beat, the other team. So, they played for gold. Two really strong teams. They met actually in the 2021, World Championships, for the gold medal game. China ended up winning that one, down to the last rock. It was a close game through the first half, and then China pulled away again. So amazing feat for them. There was, to be playing at home, there was a lot of pressure on them to win. And they did. They're a strong country and they played really well and they deserved it. They actually started 0-2. They lost to us and then they lost to Sweden to start the round robin, and then they won 10 games straight. So, they did well. So from there, we had our medal ceremony, which was amazing. We finally got to see our bronze medals. We got to, place the medals on our teammates, share that experience, with both the people that were there and people that were watching back home. It's a cool experience. And, yeah, China and Sweden got theirs. So, yeah, we just got some great pictures with the team. Just to remember this win. Medals were pretty cool. They're quite amazing. I did bring mine today if anybody would like to see it. Yeah, really, really well done. Some great team pictures. And got some pictures with the mascots. So we have two mascots, the white one. White and black one is the Olympic mascot. His name is Bing Duen Duen. And the red one is Shui Ron Ron. That's for the Paralympics. So we got some pictures with him. The other thing I'd like to say is, like, we had amazing coverage. I don't know if anybody's able to catch some of our games, but CBC Gem did an amazing job. It's the best coverage we've ever had for wheelchair curling. And something we are super thankful for, especially in a year where family and friends can't travel to actually catch our games. They were able to watch them from home and with really good quality. Like, what you see on TSN is basically what CBC Gem gave us. It was amazing. We also had great support from home. You know, lots of watch parties and cheering us along. Lots of schools had made pictures for us, cheering us along. And it was pretty cool experience to share. From there, this is the last day in Beijing, and we got to go see the gold medal game between Canada and U.S. for sledge hockey. It was the first sledge hockey game I've ever seen. It is some amazing hockey if you ever get a chance. It is quite amazing at the speed and skill of these athletes. So it was fun to cheer them on. Canada or U.S. ended up winning that. They are very strong in that sport. But from there we went to closing ceremonies, and it was a cool experience. It's not quite as big as opening ceremonies, but it was a pretty cool experience and really well done. Yeah, just a lot of cool pieces to the presentation, and then back home to Canada. So flew to Vancouver, Vancouver to Toronto, and then a night over. But I was pleasantly surprised by my mom and stepdad and my aunt and uncle at 3 in the morning at the airport, which I did not expect. So it was pretty cool to have that welcome party there. And that was it. Like, this is us coming back, bringing the bronze medal home for Canada. It was a pretty cool experience. One of the funnest things that I got to enjoy when I got back was actually listening to other people that had watched our games most of the time live. Like, we got home and we were exhausted. Like, 5 weeks, 3 weeks of training, you know, 2 weeks of leading up to competition and competition. You know, we were ready for a rest, and so were friends and family that were, you know, either working and then staying up all night to watch our games. You know, they were doing double shifts too. So it was cool to hear how much they enjoyed the games, even people that maybe hadn't seen wheelchair curling, and how much they just enjoyed the experience of watching and cheering us on. And one last thing I'd just like to say is I was very thankful this year to be a 2023 CAN Fund recipient this year. It's an amazing foundation that they're celebrating their 20 years, but they've been supporting athletes like me that have pursuits of representing Canada at both Olympics and Paralympics. And they provide funding in that. I just wanted to give them a shout out. They're a great foundation. I'd be happy to share the website but it's a great foundation to support. Really supports athletes in their pursuits of their dreams. And other than that, that is the end of my presentation. So I just really wanted to thank you guys for inviting me, and a pleasure to share my experience.